Last time, I asked you to do one small thing a center does. Check on someone. Be the one who reaches first. And if you tried it, even halfway, I'm almost certain a voice showed up. Not loud, just quiet and flat. Who do you think you are? You're not the one people look to. Your own life is still a mess. You've got your own stuff to figure out. That voice is the single biggest thing that stops good people from ever stepping into the role. Not laziness, not selfishness, just that one sentence. Landing like a door closing in your face. So, this whole episode is built for that voice. We're going to sit with it honestly because it deserves that. It's not a dumb thought, it's a real one. And then, we're going to take it apart. Because the answer isn't what you've probably been told. Let's be fair to the doubt for a second. Because, when you hear, "Who am I to hold this?" it's not coming out of nowhere. It's coming from a real picture you have in your head. A picture of what a person who holds a center looks like. And in that picture, the person is wise, settled, has done the inner work, figured things out, got their own life in some kind of order, knows what to say when things go wrong, doesn't get rattled, maybe older, maybe softer. Maybe the kind of person who always has food on the stove when you show up unannounced. You know that person, or you have a picture of them anyway. The one in your street, or your family, or your memory, who seemed to have it sorted, who people went to, who held the thing together without ever seeming to break a sweat. So you measure yourself against that picture, and obviously, you don't match. Your kitchen is a wreck. You said the wrong thing last Tuesday. You're still carrying things you haven't sorted out. There's a list of your own mess that comes to mind almost instantly when you even think about being someone others lean on. And so the doubt says, not you, maybe someone else. Maybe later, when you got yourself together more. That measuring, that gap between the picture in your head and the person you actually are, that is where the doubt lives. And the doubt is almost always sincere. It's not laziness talking. It's someone who cares about getting it right and who doesn't want to show up as something they're not, which, honestly, is a mark in your favor. But the picture you're measuring against, that picture is wrong. Here's the thing the books keep coming back to. The center is not a title. It is not a rank you earn when you become wise enough or healed enough. It is a role, which means it's a position anyone willing can step into. Think about a captain of a ship. Not some myth of a captain, but a real one out on real water. A captain is not the strongest person on the ship, not the smartest, not the most fearless. A captain is the one who holds the role of captain. And what that means in practice is simple. She stays aware of what the ship needs. She makes sure nobody important falls through the cracks, and when things go sideways, she does not disappear. That's the job. Being the center of a circle works the same way. You don't hold it because you are the wisest. You hold it because you are willing to pay attention to the people around you, to notice when someone drops off, to be the one who doesn't vanish when things go hard. That's it. Not wisdom, willingness. Let's make this real. There's a story in the books about Ruth. Ruth is not the strongest person in her circle. She's not the richest, not the most sordid. When we first meet her, she is grieving. She's in a hard stretch. Money is thin, and she is trying to figure out what her life is supposed to look like next. And in the middle of all of that, she holds her circle, not because she has it together, because she shows up. She stays aware of the people who depend on her. She doesn't drop the thread. And the circle she holds, through some of the hardest stretches of her own life, is the thing that eventually catches her, too. This is one of the clearest things the books show us. The people who hold the center are not the ones who sorted themselves out first. They are the ones who decided to show up for others while they were still sorting. The deciding comes first. The sorting catches up. Now here's the harder version of the doubt. Because I know some of you are not just thinking, who am I? You're thinking something sharper. What if I step into this and I get it wrong? What if I try to hold someone's circle and I say the wrong thing? I make them feel worse instead of better. What if I promise to check on them and then I forget? What if I reach out and they look at me like, why is this person reaching out to me? These are fair worries. These are real. And I'm not going to brush them off, because the books don't either. There's a real difference between someone who steps into a center role and actually pays attention, and someone who steps in and makes it about themselves, who swoops in, says the clumsy thing, and then exits before the hard part. That second person does sometimes make it worse, so the worry is not nothing. But here's the thing, the worry you're describing is not actually about failing. It's about caring. And the people who worry about getting it wrong are almost never the ones who make it worse. The ones who make it worse are usually the ones who never stop to wonder if they might. The worry is actually a signal that you're the right kind of person for the role. And then there's this. Researchers who study what happens to people when they lose their connections, when the thread goes cold, have found something that keeps coming back across a lot of different studies, a lot of different places in the world. What does lasting harm to people is not an awkward reach. It is the silence. It is nobody noticing. It is the thread going completely cold and staying that way. The person who tries and stumbles, they are still the person who showed up. The silence was never that. So yes, you might say the wrong thing. That has never been as dangerous as saying nothing at all. Now here's the part that flips the whole doubt around. And I want you to really sit with this, because it runs backwards from how most of us think. We assume the order goes like this. First, you sort yourself out, then you earn the right to hold things for someone else. Get yourself stable first. Get your own life in better shape. Then, once you're together enough, you can extend yourself to other people. That sounds sensible. It feels like the grown-up, responsible answer. And it is exactly where the doubt gets its power from, because if that order is true, almost nobody ever qualifies. There's always more to sort. There's always something still unresolved. The threshold keeps moving, and later never quite arrives. But something the books keep returning to, and this is one of the real surprises in them, is that for a lot of people, it runs exactly the other way. Holding a thread for someone, just staying aware of them, checking in, being the one who reaches when you notice they've gone quiet, that is often the very thing that steadies you. Not because it fixes your own situation, because it gives your own life a direction that is bigger than your own worry. People who feel unmoored don't usually find solid ground by getting more alone with their thoughts. They find it by becoming, in some small way, a person someone else is counting on. That changes how you carry yourself. It changes how you feel about the day. Being needed is not a reward you collect after you are whole. For a lot of people, it is the road to whole. So the order you assumed, sort yourself, then help, is often not the order it actually works. The reaching comes first. The steadiness follows. That is not a trick. It is just how people are built. So let's bring this home with the picture I've been building all episode. A jar, sitting at the center of a circle of people. When the episode started, that jar was empty and nobody's hands were reaching in. Now, I want you to see what happens when one person decides to hold the center. She's not the wisest one in the circle. She's not the most put together. She's just the one who decided to stay aware, to notice when someone went quiet, to reach first. And because she does that, because she's willing to hold the position, something starts to happen. Other people in the circle start to put things in too, One brings what she can, another keeps track, another shows up when things go sideways. The jar fills, not because the center person is special, because she made the jar a real place, a place where something could be put and something could be shared. And here's the thing about a jar that a whole circle is filling, you cannot run it dry by holding the center. You can only run it dry by walking away from it. The role protects you. Your willingness fills the jar, and the jar fills you back. So here's your one thing this week. And I want to be clear, this is not a test. It's not a grade. It's a give. Pick one person in your circle, someone you've been meaning to check on, someone who's gone a little quiet, someone you thought of last week and then got busy. And reach out this week, not when you feel more ready, not when your own life is in a better place. Right now, exactly as unfinished as you are, you don't have to have the right words. You don't have to fix anything. You just have to be the one who noticed they were there. That's the whole thing. That's the center act. And pay attention to what it does to you, because this is the part most people don't expect. Something in you tends to settle a little when you do it, not because you fixed anyone, because you were needed, and you showed up, and you felt it. So that's the doubt taken apart. You do not have to be wise enough, healed enough, sorted enough, or special in any way. You have to be willing. Willing to hold the position. Willing to stay aware of the people around you. Willing to reach while you are still figuring out your own life. Which, by the way, is every person who has ever held a center well. The doubt was never wrong to show up. It was just working from the wrong picture. Now you have a different one. Next time, we deal with the fear that comes right after willingness, that holding the center will wear you out, that you'll become the person everybody leans on and nobody ever fills. There is a way to hold the center that fills you instead of draining you, and it has everything to do with the jar. That's where we're headed. Reach out to your one person this week, watched over, as always, by Daisy.